ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Never take any food from Stephanie because her fork's been in her dog's mouth.
At least it's a
plastic. How do you know dogs don't like pet tie? They like it fine.
You're going to be cleaning up dog barf.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm going to be cleaning up
dog
barf.
All right. No fighting. Family. Look, Travis is here, everybody.
Hi, Travis.
Good morning.
Travis Bone, associate producer, screener extraordinaire.
Why do you put the emphasis on bone?
Bone.
She likes me
throw me a bone here.
Because Marcus Bachman wants to know what bone looks like.
It's right
there.
There
it is.
Right there. Hi.
See, if you want to buy Michelle another pantsuit in bone, that's the color of bone. Pure white. All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 7 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. He answers those phones. Okay, so we are finishing finally our first real week.
Yes.
In the home studio, because last week I was nearly...
drunk?
No, dead.
Oh, okay.
Because I was drunk.
Oh, I see.
From pneumonia and, you know,
the alcohol kills the germs.
Exactly. I said everything went when I stopped drinking. Okay. So anyway, all right, so we're finishing. This is in the home studio. And can I just... I know every woman in America right now will sympathize with me. It is like living with three bears all the time. It's like having three husbands, four, including Natan.
What do we
and
do?
Then five, if you count the drunken Canadian intern who is sometimes here.
I don't ask for much.
Okay, first of all, can we talk about... I'm living with the fact that the toilet seat is always going to be up in that bathroom.
I put it down every time.
I put it down, too.
Oh, well, somebody does it.
That's me.
Okay. And secondly, can somebody please wait till you're done with the toilet paper before you take out the new roll? There's, like, not much on the roll, and then someone just puts a new roll out there.
Guys,
why?
Don't use toilet paper when they do the number one.
Okay. What I'm saying is finish the roll and then replace it.
Oh,
don't
God.
Put an X.
Oh, my God.
That's high maintenance.
You are.
Pepper. Whatever. And then I got
you are high strung.
Yeah, no wonder you're single.
You can't have all the toilet paper out there if there's still one little piece of paper on it. You can't. You must not. You must wait till it's all gone. Oh, my God. There's a roll of toilet paper. Oh!
You're upsetting Max.
I haven't lived with a woman since I was in high school. I don't know about these things.
Wow.
And then what did I do? I put in a perfectly good coat rack for you people, and you all walked right by it and threw your coats in here.
Well, oh, I didn't wear
men,
a coat today.
Men.
Well, you are required to have a coat, so you can hang it on the coat
hanger.
It's going to be 83 degrees here today. I'm not going to wear a coat
people
to work.
People brought coats, and all I'm saying is then I had to pick them up and go put them in
you
there.
You know who brings a coat? What?
The Canadian.
And the guy from Boston. They should be used to this weather.
Canadians wear coats in the summer.
It's 85 degrees here.
Wow.
They acclimate fast.
My God, you're neurotic.
Okay, let's not even talk about my newspaper that Jim steals every morning and does
that's
the crossword
rude.
When he should be paying attention to me, right, Jim? Do you
there
pay
you
attention
go.
To me?
There you go. There, have the paper.
There. Can't
the
there's Beetle Bailey for you.
The
but he does the crossword every day, and then I have to unfold the thing to get to the sections that I want to read. It's like living with... I have seven husbands every day. Oh, God.
You did not sign up for this.
I did not. Husbands, bears, some sort of... I don't know.
I am very polite.
Listen,
I put the toilet seat
you and
down.
Travis do your job by showing up and wearing something tight. However...
I put my desk away
every
day.
You can see that you both have bigger breasts than I do, and that pisses me off right away.
I'm waiting for the day you motorboat me.
you could motorboat me. Are you okay, Jim? Okay.
Uh-oh. Motorboating choked him up.
Are we getting ad money for this? Mucinex product placement? All right, and Ricola. Oh, and Ricola. Okay, awesome.
Ricola.
All right, sexy liberal John Fugelsang, right in hour number three.
That's right.
And Travis will be out there manning the phones. What did you say to me yesterday? You said you should see the ones that don't get through.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's what he's there for.
The next
right.
head of the FCC is calling in every day.
Right.
Telling us that we're missing out on a great opportunity to have him on here.
Right. Oh, and other husband news. What did I text you this morning?
Can you take out the garbage?
Yeah. Yes, because you produce a lot of garbage. And I'm not the janitor around
you.
You produce a lot of garbage.
You produce all the garbage. It's all that
What's
paper.
All that garbage in this in the kitchen thing?
Stuff I took out of your garbage can and put it in the oven.
Droppings. I don't know what's in there. All right.
What am I going to do? Leave it out for the dogs? Just put it on the floor?
No, someone has to empty the garbage. It's garbage day. You'll find out in a little while. We'll hear the trucks.
This will be the big test.
Right.
Oh, God.
All right. Commercial break. Thank you, Travis. Get out now.
Go. Get out.
Okay, get out so I can see your butt. Thanks.
Wiggle it for the camera.
Okay. I think we both just sexually harassed him.
I think so.
Oh, boy.
Are you going to file a suit against us? You going to talk to HR?
Yes, talk to the HR department. The door. Travis, the door.
The door.
Okay. All right. Jim, you're at that attractive phase of the sickness like I am. Just giant. I'm coughing up phlegm balls like the size of...
It's all evacuating my lungs now.
Yeah, I'm coughing up phlegm balls the size of Jeff Sessions, the tiny senator from... Yeah, it's pretty...
Yeah, I just got this rattle in my chest. I just need to
a
get...
A death it. Rattle?
Yeah.
It's a death rattle. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Hey, you know how you know you really love me, that you're really a fan? My beloved Julie in Seattle?
Yep.
Steph, it has been determined that I, too, now have walking pneumonia. WTF, how is that possible? If you really love me, you would get walking pneumonia, too.
That's apparently what I have.
Do you really?
And the boogie-woogie blues.
All right. The only good news about this whole home studio thing is I get free tech support from Chris LeBoy.
What did I do?
Because you're trapped here, and you can't, so I make you do stuff.
Yes, I put TuneIn Radio on your phone.
Yes! You know, here's the thing. Because we are turning everybody into a nation of tech geeks.
Yep.
Because I might be the only person that has an AM radio on an armband.
Really?
That I used to hike.
Oh, my God.
And
I didn't even know they sold them anymore.
Fortunately, for thinking people in the country, technology is outrunning AM talk radio anyway. It was so simple.
Yeah.
You put in the TuneIn app, I can get our WCPT Chicago station, KTNF Minneapolis.
Right. Progressive Voices.
ProgressiveVoices.com, the KPTR in Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. Awesome, because you know I have to get my Randy Rhodes fixed, so I'm going to get iHeart too to get her. So
that's right.
Yeah, I'm done with AM talk radio.
Well, yeah,
except for the ones that we're on.
Really, apps are the only way you can get good radio anymore.
Right.
Can I get it into my car?
Exactly.
On your car, you could.
Yeah, I can stream it through my head unit.
Yeah, it's amazing, and then you can also plug in your smartphone in your phone, right, and get radio in the car if you want. Mm. Right?
Plug in your smartphone in your phone?
There's like a wire somebody was telling me about.
My smartphone is dumb. It's a 3G.
No, I can stream it to my radio through Bluetooth. I don't need to hook it in or anything.
He has the Herp Derp 3C.
Ah.
3G.
Right, G. Sorry.
3C?
I don't know.
What's that?
Okay.
C-3PO, she's thinking of.
Technology is our friend. However, there may be some signs that we have gone too far. For instance, someone tweeted me about there is an app that can tell you how you're feeling. It's face tracking technology allows computers to read facial expressions in case you want to know what your mood is.
If you need an app to tell you how you're feeling, you're dead. Yeah.
You're an idiot.
You're at least dead inside.
I can tell you. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've ever been confused about how you're feeling and it happened to be in the 70s, you could always count on your mood ring. Now, today, there's
or
an
those
app.
Biorhythm machines that were in the supermarkets.
Or your pet rock.
Yeah.
Today there is an app that performs a similar. There's an app for that, that performs a similar function. The Clum Tracker. CLMTRACKR.
Oh,
they could not apparently afford vowels. A new emotion analysis tool created by a Norwegian computer scientist named.
Yusuf Lerdenhorden.
Right, that's close enough. You turn on your webcam, stare into your screen, and the program will tell you what emotions you're experiencing in what proportions from anger to sadness to joy.
Oh, right? My
wow.
God.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
He's using technology for bad.
Jim is an actor. He could just fake his computer out.
Right.
What am I feeling? You can't tell, can you? I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that. You know just as well as I do.
Daisy.
Paul, stop. Please stop. I know things have not been quite right with you.
So, Chris Christie has lawyered up everybody.
He has.
I don't know if you've heard about this. Oh, dear.
Yep.
Oh, dear. Rudy Giuliani's lawyer. So that's got to be a fixer.
Yep.
Rocky Mountain Mike says, too bad Chris Christie couldn't hire Johnny Cochran. He wasn't at the bridge, he was at the fridge. It's a fat joke. Okay. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Enough with the fat jokes.
I didn't do it. Rocky Mountain Mike did.
You are just throwing everybody under the bus today.
First you complain that I use the upstairs bathroom, and then when I use the downstairs bathroom, you complain about that.
I'm just saying, finish the toilet paper before you take out a new one. This is just going to be bickering.
Who does that? Who goes down to the very last tiny sheet of toilet paper?
And then they have to wander around the bathroom trying to find where the... Yep.
Wow, you're neurotic.
I just got gayer. That's okay.
There are three sheets of toilet paper left. You can't throw it away.
Okay. By the way, because of course it's Benghazi full time now
God.
On Fox News and whatever. By the way, I had a caller yesterday. I did not have numbers in front of me. Now I do. The not so fun facts. Mm-hmm. When George Bush was president, total deaths were 60. That's what I was trying to. I couldn't even remember the number.
Right.
And I don't remember one news story, let alone an investigation. But here they all are. And so there were four people killed, correct, in Benghazi. This is, you can go down the list. U.S. consulate at Kolkata. I don't even know where that is.
Calcutta. Calcutta, India.
Is that, that's not spelled the way I've never seen it.
No, they've changed a lot of the spellings of the cities in,
like
Mumbai is, was Bombay.
Yeah.
Kolkata was Calcutta.
Right.
They're taking away the English
versions. English versions, right.
I wonder what Norwegian face app scientists. Flurringharn thinks about that. Karachi, 12 killed. Embassy to Islamabad, 2 killed. Tashkent, 2 killed. Saudi Arabia, 9 killed. Mm. These are all the either U.S. Embassies or consulates.
Mm-hmm.
September 2006, embassy in Syria, 4 killed. Yemen, 2 killed. Istanbul, 6 killed. And the U.S. embassy in Yemen in 2008, 16 people killed in one attack.
But the only one Republicans remember is Benghazi.
All right. So we will talk about all that as we continue 18 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Von Seal in Asheville texted me. She said, your experience with the boys is why polygamy was a man's idea. See, now Jim's brought the entire roll.
Of course, yes.
Here
hold it up for the camera.
Just to irritate me.
Hmm.
Oh, my God. You have to hear how disgusting it sounds in here during the breaks.
Oh,
all three
gross.
Of us are hacking up phlegm. Oh, that is just... Yeah, just when you think it's over, right? You just
that's
hack up,
tasty.
Like,
yeah.
Hack up something...
Ooh. Feels right. Like I've been breathing sand.
Exactly. Okay. All right. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang got in a Twitter fight with someone from Fox.
Yeah.
So he as usual made some just. John Fugelsang can just cut you and you don't even know. You're just like, ooh, what? Clean and you're
why
just
is,
bleeding.
Yeah.
Why is it my shirt wet?
Yeah. Oh, why are my internal organs on the ground?
Outside. What? Isn't the liver supposed to be on the inside?
He made some great points. Anyway, we'll talk to him about that. By the way, speaking of tweets, somebody tweeted in college, Chris Christie was overjoyed when a bridge kept open, prevented traffic problems at his graduation. Isn't that nice? He's a big fan of bridges being open so you can... Hmm. Wow, and he was a young, skinny guy.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't skinny. He was big-boned. I mean, he was a football player. So,
right.
You know, he had some heft to him.
I mean, skinny as compared to...
Today, yes.
Right. Yeah, look at that. It's a little clipping from when he was, I guess, class president. Isn't that precious?
Yeah.
The gods of graduation are smiling on the seniors. The bridge over Route 896 will remain open this year and therefore not hinder commencement plans, DUSC President Chris Christie said at Monday's meeting of the Delaware Undergraduate Student Congress. Construction on the walking bridge will begin this January, he said, but the bridge itself and traffic crossing it will not be affected until January 1985. There'll be no impediment for June 1984 commencement, huh. At least as it's planned now.
Huh.
Isn't that nice? He was a big fan back then. Oh, the other thing? Guess what he was back then?
What?
Kind of a thug and a bully.
Really?
Yes. Can I have some do you have nostalgia music? Who knows what you've toted over here with us. Yeah, this is from the January 6th. Let's see. I don't even know. No, I don't know what the date is. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, no stranger to accusations of political bullying and bathroom dealing like those at the heart of the bridge scandal.
Right.
Bathroom dealing like swirlies? Is that...
back room. Not
bathroom. Oh, back room. No. Oh, it's different. Yeah.
The first time the brash political brawler faced such claims was in the mid-1980s.
Oh.
When he was an undergrad at the University of Delaware, there, a student newspaper archives show, Christie was accused of establishing a college political machine that rewarded his friends and drove his classmates out of student government.
Huh.
One fellow student even wrote to the paper to cry Christie's cronyism and question the legitimacy of the future governor's reign.
Cronyism, even then. Wow.
I
didn't know anyone at that age was accused of cronyism.
Yeah.
Once a bully, always a bully.
Wow.
Yeah, and as I mentioned before the break, he has lawyered up.
Yep.
He has hired a longtime associate of, as
Dominic,
they say,
Dominic
in certain Yanezi. Businesses. I'm sure you know my associate.
Joey Pants.
And of Mayor Giuliani's.
Yep.
Larry, two times.
Yeah, whatever, for this internal investigation of his office following the revelations that he blah, 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 blah. Chris Christie, yesterday.
Whatever tests they put in front of me, I will meet those tests because I'm doing it on your behalf.
Oh, I shut
She's
that bridge
giver.
For your own good. He's a giver, all right.
Sure.
Priscilla in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Priscilla.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, listen, you need to do what I did to solve your bathroom problem. I'm having workmen... build a garage here, but it's taking so long because I live here in Wisconsin and dragging out to over a month. But so I've had this porta potty out in my next to my driveway.
Oh, that's a good idea. I should get a porta potty.
A porta potty, and so they never have to come in and go to the bathroom.
Right, a porta potty maybe make them drink from the hose maybe.
Well, once a week the porta potty truck comes out and pumps it out. So you know, then it's all.
They won't have to contend with that noise.
Yes. Them again.
Right.
I see.
Plus, the coyotes will probably knock it over. So.
Okay. Thanks, Priscilla. I appreciate the tip. Of course, I kind of have to let you in the house or else I can't do the show.
That's true. You don't know how to run this.
Exactly.
There's a lot of buttons here that need to be pushed.
Exactly. I'm a little bit, helpless, as it turns out. So, lucky for you. All right. Oh, by the way, everybody in Philadelphia, you can rest easy. They caught the Swiss cheese masturbator.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
And he looks exactly how you thought he would look.
What you would think he would look like.
Yeah.
It's that guy. Yeah, it's that guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Residents of Philadelphia can finally relax. A man accused of being the city's famed Swiss cheese has been arrested.
Good.
They take their cheese seriously in Philadelphia.
That's not cheese.
Well, they're used to cream cheese. They're not used to Swiss cheese.
No. Not that's been used like this.
Nope.
Court documents revealed Pagano. His name is Mr. I don't know his first name. What is
it's
his
Pagano.
Name? Pagano. Chris Pagano.
Ah.
Was arrested in 2009 after he allegedly, quote, removed a large block of cheese from his pocket and offered a woman on the street $20 to rub the Swiss cheese
on him.
A block of cheese? Wasn't like a slice?
It's not. But you can't. What can you? It's not the kind of cheese you can. I mean, not that I would know, but...
Jim, I was just going to say.
Is there something they made like
to tell us? It's dense. I mean, you can't just...
Right. That's what I said.
If there were a slice, I can understand, because you could wrap it or brie. You could...
Right. Something semi-soft.
Right.
Jim. I'm going to go check my fridge now. I'm going to put a lock on my refrigerator.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
wacky as those kids were, they were no match for Captain Wacky, later renamed Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, dear God.
What?
You know what? It's good news that we have a video surveillance here. You know why?
Why?
People are stealing cough medicine.
What?
It's out in California. Between the two of us, or three of us, how much cough medicine do you think we currently are stashing? Codeine-based cough.
Oh, I didn't take any codeine-based stuff.
No. Oh, I did.
No.
I did. It was to get me down off the morphine from the emergency room.
Can't talk. Coming down.
Coming down again.
Yeah, Stockton, California. Stockton police say thieves are targeting pharmacies to get their hands on codeine-based cough syrup used to make a potentially deadly party drink.
Called Purple Drank.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's disgusting. Have you heard what's in it?
Yeah. Didn't one of those little young rapper people get hooked on Purple Drank or something?
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. You are so old and white. Did you just say one of those young rapper people?
Purple Drank.
I can't remember which one.
I'm not sure if it was a Puffy or an Icy person. Well, somebody.
No, you just dated yourself because those were big in the 90s.
The last time I stopped listening. I don't know. Yeah, it's a cocktail, Jim, with Sprite or Mountain Dew. Ice, Jolly Ranchers candy.
Oof.
Ugh. That apparently causes a euphoric sensation.
Along with the codeine.
Right, well, right.
Well, the codeine is the, yeah.
Cough syrup.
But apparently there's something in a Jolly Rancher that makes it react in a weird way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it sounds delicious.
I never trusted Jolly Ranchers. Now I know why.
That sounds worse than eating Pop Rocks with Coke. And your head explodes. Or was that another 70s myth? Who can
that was another 70s. Mikey from Life, the Life commercials, he's fine.
Oh, good. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, he did Life commercials later on when he was a grown-up.
Good, mm-hmm. Good. All right, well, everything old is new again. Did you know that rapey Republicans are back? Remember we had a whole cycle full of rapey guys?
I thought we got rid of them.
You know, the rape not so bad kind of thing.
Yeah.
Woman has a way to shut the whole thing down. Legitimate rape. I don't remember.
I thought we took them all back to the shed and, you know.
No, we got a new one.
Oh, okay.
They replenish themselves. Virginia. Oh. Virginia GOP House candidate opposes criminalizing spousal rape. He says there's no such thing. A Republican. Right. He opposed making spousal rape a crime years earlier. Dick. His name is Dick.
Dick.
Dick Black.
Huh. Dick Black.
Well. Okay.
Yeah. There's so many things.
No,
yeah.
Time for everybody's thought bubbles to produce their own.
All right. Thanks.
State Senator Richard Dick Black, he's both Richard and Dick.
Great.
Argued against criminalizing spousal rape, saying it's highly difficult to convict a husband of rape against his wife. Quote, when they're living together, sleeping in the same bed, she's in a nighty. There's no injury.
You know, she
so
has
forth.
It coming.
Right. She was asking for it by wearing a nighty to bed.
Oh, boy.
Black also has referred to emergency contraception as baby pesticide, called abortion in America a holocaust, and opposed putting a statue of Abraham Lincoln at a location in Richmond, Virginia.
Wow.
That was previously a Confederate
site.
What a
peach.
Yeah,
that guy's...
Yep. They just keep... You keep going through your Tea Party nut bags. They'll make more.
Great.
Okay. Let's go to Jim in Las Vegas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Oh, hi there.
Hi. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to. You know, yesterday I watched your show for the first time. It was a very, very nice, interesting show, and I heard you talking about guns and stuff. You know, and some of these crazy gun crimes that happen. And you know, we all agree these
as opposed to the sane ones.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. They're all gun crimes are all insane. True.
Right.
The thing I want to ask you is, you know, what is your point? I mean, what would you like to change? What law would you want to see changed? I mean, are you just ragging on guns all the time? I mean, you know, I'm a CCW holder from Nevada, and I think that it's a good thing that people are responsible people are carrying guns. I don't think only police should have guns. I mean, police are people too.
What about ex-cops that are annoyed about people texting?
Well, that's stupid. I mean, the guy's an idiot, you know.
Right.
Of course, we all agree.
Right.
But I'm saying, what would you want to? What do you want to do?
So you think everything's fine with gun violence in America? You don't think we need any changes at all?
Oh, absolutely with you. Yeah.
Okay. Like what?
But the point is, well, what is your idea? What do you want to change? That's what I'm getting at.
I would like to ban on assault weapons. I agree with many of the generals that don't believe that military weapons have any place in civilian hands.
Well, that's
these 100-round clips, stuff like that.
Okay.
Background
checks? That's something reasonable. But what about handguns, though? That's mainly what we're talking about. That's what people carry concealed.
Right. Well, this latest school shooter had a sawed-off shotgun. I mean, I obviously different weapons are used in...
No reason to have a sawed-off shotgun in school.
Well, obviously. No, everybody thinks that. And you know what? About
no, not everybody thinks that. A lot of people think that all the teachers in school should be armed to the teeth. So, no, not everybody thinks that.
Well, here's something real simple. The only way to stop school shooters is to stop the guns from coming into schools. I mean, it's crazy that 14 years after Columbine, we still don't have metal detectors in schools. That is the only way you're going to stop it, period. No ifs, ands, buts about it. You have to have metal detectors at the doors to stop the gun from coming into the school, and that's the only way you're going to do it. So until the metal detectors aren't in the schools.
Until kids start playing with their 3D printers and start printing out their own guns. It's already happening.
Plastic guns. Yeah. They've been doing that for years, actually. But,
yeah, it's kind of a myth. You got to have a metal barrel. I mean, it's a lot of the parts are plastic, but you still got to have a metal barrel.
It's about as much metal as the key ring you're carrying, so they'll get through.
I'm not sure about that.
Well,
I think there's more metal that's needed than guns. But I guess my question for Stephanie is, I just wanted to know, you know, does she think that people ought to be allowed to carry concealed firearms and get permits to defend themselves?
Some people.
Yeah, sure. Some people. Awful lot of people that shouldn't have guns are getting them, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And you know what? I'm all for this. I think it's crazy at these gun shows that people can just walk in there, anybody, and without a background check.
Right.
Yes, I totally agree with that. That's crazy.
So we agree on some. We agree on some sensible gun control measures. The problem is, Republicans largely in Congress do not agree with any. They are in the NRA's pocket, and they don't agree with any. They have voted down any kind of even background checks that 90% of Americans are for.
Yeah, well, you know, and I can agree with that. I think the NRA goes a little bit too far. I mean, I'm a supporter of the NRA, but you know, when you're just completely 100% and you think like people ought to be allowed to, everybody ought to be allowed to own machine guns. I mean, you know,
you're a supporter of the NRA. That is what is keeping Congress from passing any kind of sensible gun legislation. How can you be a supporter of the NRA?
Well, because without the NRA, we would probably have a lot of gun laws, and I wouldn't be able to carry a concealed firearm off, probably. I mean, not because anything particular about me. I'm just saying people in general probably wouldn't have as many rights as they do with firearms. You know, the problem is we have millions and millions of guns out there. I'll tell you what. I would gladly give up my gun if you could promise me there's no more crime and there's no more home invasions. If we could get rid of all the guns, you can have mine because I don't want it. It's a hassle. It's a pain.
Have you ever?
You know, you gotta lock it up.
Have you ever had a home invasion?
No, but they happen often here in Las Vegas. You hear them on TV all the time, and it's not like I'm sitting around worried it's going to happen.
Right.
It's just that. You know, if it does happen, what are you going to do, for God's sake? You have to have a gun to protect your family. And if you don't, if nobody had guns, then the criminals all knew that, hey, guess what they're going to start doing? Home invasions all the time, because that's where the goods are, and there's no guns. You got to have guns to protect yourself. This country was born with guns.
I don't think that I've ever said nobody should have guns. Nobody's talking about taking away everybody's guns. They're just, you know, you don't think there's a problem? I'm reading a piece in the New York Times today, Jim, about in the age of school shootings, lockdown is the new fire drill. Remember when we were kids, we had fire drills?
Mm-hmm.
This is the new normal, is them, you know, having these drills, because a school shooting is probably far more likely to happen now to your kid than a mm-hmm. fire.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm old enough that we had to get under your desk.
Right. Diving under your desk to protect you from atom bombs.
Right, from the atom. Right, which I don't know how that was going to help anyway.
I think we had one or two of those. I think I caught the very tail end of those.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't get that. I didn't get that either, Jim. How would that protect you, your desk?
Well, if the ceiling collapsed, your desk might be able to protect you.
Also, if you grew up here in California, you had earthquake drills.
Or it could crush you.
Right. You had earthquake drills where you got underneath your desk.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, if there's a nuclear attack, the ceiling caving in is the least of your worries. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just like I don't really get the seatbelt on the plane. I'm just saying.
What?
I mean, I get it for
a
turbulence.
A lot of people in that Asiana.
I get it for turbulence. I'm just saying, but in case of a crash, really.
A lot of people in that Asiana crash in San Francisco were saved by their seatbelts.
Yes, exactly.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I take it all back then. Okay, this is from the New York Times in the age of, this is how, A, you know you're old, and B, there's something that's gone awry in America. For students across the country, lockdowns have become a fixture of the school day. The duck and cover drills for a generation growing up in the shadow of Columbine and Sandy Hook. Kindergarteners learn to hide quietly behind bookshelves. Teachers warn high school students that the glow of their cell phones could make them targets. And parents get regular text messages from school officials alerting them to lockdowns. I have to ask, like, the parents out there, like, what, how is this impacting your kids psychologically? I mean,
well, the sales of body armor would go up.
You know,
that'd be good for the body armor industry.
For kids, it's a part of life. It's one other thing you do during the day.
Yeah. At the first whiff of a threat, teachers are now instructed to snap off the lights, lock their doors, usher students into corners and closets. School officials call the police. Students huddle in their classrooms for minutes or hours, texting one another, playing cards or board games, or just waiting until they get the all clear. Some drills are as simple as the principal making an announcement and students sitting quietly in a darkened classroom. At other schools, police officers and school officials play-act a shooting, stalking through the halls like gunmen and testing whether doors have been locked. That seems a little, I don't know, again, psychologically damaging, depending on the age.
Yeah.
In fact, so one mother said that it speaks to the psychological conditions of these children, that they're alert, they're on the lookout. This danger is always present for them, said
maybe
Jackson's mother, Sarah Green. It's constantly on their minds.
Maybe schools should have a panic room, like the Jodie Foster.
Oh, like Jodie Foster
did. Yeah, I mean, get everyone in there.
Some of these schools are so massive that it would take forever to get all these kids to the panic room.
Yeah.
And they'd all be
panic room.
They'd all be, you know, running targets while going to the panic room.
Though her son Jackson's still too young to understand the broader threats behind the drills, he's absorbed the lessons so well he has started playing lockdown at home. She said, "Attention, everyone, this is a lockdown," he announces in the playroom. "Turn off the lights." For Jackson, it's just normal, she said. Quite frankly, it's horrifying that my son imposes lockdowns on his little brother in the same way that he pretends to announce the lunch menu. Oh, if my brother had had this tool.
Oh, God.
I would have been locked in the basement for hours.
In the fruit cellar.
Where he dug a grave for me.
That's right.
In Louisville, the school where Rachel Hurd's daughter Ella attends second grade was locked down after a man with five BB guns walked onto the campus. A few days later, Ms. Hurd said her daughter drew a yet red and yellow emergency button and taped it to her bedroom wall. When she presses it, she and her four-year-old brother run to the basement to hide. In Manhattan, Kansas, Tina, somebody said her first grade son had to hide in his classroom cubby during a drill while police officers walked through the hallways and into classrooms practicing how they would ensure children were tucked out of a shooter's sight. That night, she said he had a nightmare that a bad guy shot him at school. He's a sensitive kid. She said it really affected him. How sad it is our kids have to deal with this.
Yeah.
Well, didn't that stay at all? Anyway. Oh, and then for the right-wing trolley gun nut callers, by the way.
Yeah.
Who just stumbled upon our show because they like to listen to both sides.
Sure.
I like that guy. Did you see? He said, "Oh, it's a nice looking show." Oh, all right, thanks.
All right.
It's nice looking.
We'll take what we can get.
You say a lot of stupid, but it looks good. Okay, but anyway, somebody sent me the Mother Jones piece that do armed civilians stop mass shooters? Actually, no. From MotherJones.com. We'll go through that and much more as we continue 46 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You just blew my mind.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm pushing already.
What?
52 minutes after the hour. Oh, I look at that. CNN calling. Stephanie, are you available tonight with Don Lemon at 7 p.m.? That's Eastern.
Okay.
On Michelle Obama turning 50 as a woman, fabulous at 50. We'd love your thoughts and advice to the First Lady. Well, I'm
sure. Why are they asking you?
Asking you for advice?
You don't know how to be fabulous at 50.
Screw you. So I will be media hoeing tonight with Don Lemon on CNN.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, this was a piece that we should post this, because we had a caller yesterday about there's always amazing stories, Jim, about how many mass shootings are apparently routinely stopped by just a random civilian with a gun.
Right. Good guy with a gun.
Which, as Mother Jones points out, they did actually a very intensive study on it. As it turns out, does not happen pretty much ever. I don't know. I can't remember what the caller, I think like they have like their stories that they go down in a bunch of these Appalachian School of Law in Grundy, Virginia, high school shooting in Pearl, Mississippi, New Life Church in Colorado, where there's all these where gun nuts are like, oh, no, somebody. And anyway, Mother Jones report, this is from a while ago, but says not one of the 62 mass shootings in the U.S. over the last 30 years has been stopped this way. Mm-hmm. More broadly, attempts by armed civilians to intervene in shooting rampages are rare and are successful even more rarely. And again, I never said never. It's just two people who tried it in recent years were gravely wounded or killed. Those pesky facts haven't stopped the Arm America More crowd from pressing the argument with alleged examples of successful armed interventions. The problem is the few examples they keep using in which they depict plain old folks acting heroically and with definitive results fall apart under scrutiny. And anyway, there were
so
five.
So it's folklore.
These are the five cases, right, that are most commonly cited, and they go down and talk about the actual.
Mm-hmm. It's already posted.
Right. I think in the first one, the guy ran out of ammunition. You know, and again, which argues for, you know, is one of the sensible
smaller
gun control
clips.
Measures. Smaller
yes.
clips. Right.
That's right.
Right. Which is why that Lawrence O'Donnell promo
right.
about
the quote that
is my porn.
We always
it's in my
wrong.
Spank Bank. Pardon me?
Oh.
It's my porn. It's my, it's like a female, it's a Cialis commercial for me. I just, right? He said, I blame the shooter for the first however many bullets. Jim.
Right. I don't remember now.
I blame the law for the next whatever.
10 or
whatever he
something.
Said. You know what I mean. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if that guy had like an 8-round clip.
Right. They normally
they
are
stopped
when they go to reload or
yeah.
change
exactly.
clips or whatever. Yeah.
But if you have 20.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Lee in Victorville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lee.
Yes, Stephanie. First thing, could I be the official wine hauler of the Stephanie Miller Show?
You haul wine?
I haul wine from Washington down to L.A. or San Diego.
Cool.
Really now. Travis,
to make
give
a
him
stop
my address.
And just drop it all off here.
I haul 40,000 plus pounds a week.
Wow.
Huh.
Wow, we. That's about what I do a week. Good. Drop it off.
I bring it once a week for you.
Awesome. Good. All right. Go ahead.
Nice.
What I called about is I'm a combat vet, and I know what it's like to kill somebody. I'm not proud of that, but these people that wants to carry guns for self-defense, they need to do one of two things. They need to either seek help for their paranoia or take themselves out of the situation they're in that requires them to carry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's what's so ridiculous. This latest, retired cop in the movie theater that shot the guy texting. Is the fact that stand your ground, like it doesn't even include that even if you can flee the situation, you're not required to. Like, you can just walk away, right?
Exactly. It's crazy. I mean, and these people don't realize what it takes to, what it takes to take a life like that. I grew up with guns. I've had guns all my life, but since I got out of the Marines, I refused to touch one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I don't blame you.
It's crazy. These people are mentally insane. I mean, yeah. That should be the first test. Do you need a gun? No, but I want one. Well, you don't qualify.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. People that want weapons of war, are generally not people that have ever had to use weapons
right.
in war.
Where did you serve, if you don't mind my asking?
I was in the first Gulf War.
Ah, my brother-in-law.
I was in. Oh, yes?
My brother-in-law is a fighter pilot in the first Gulf War.
Oh, okay. I was just a grunt.
Ah, well, thank you for your service, and thanks for your call, Lee. Don't forget the
right,
one.
Thank you.
Don't forget the one. All right, 40 pounds. Let's go to John in Philly. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. That nutbag who called about metal detectors in every school, like, that's never been thought of before. Who's going to pay for that?
Right.
Because these poor teachers who literally use their own money to pay for pencils
supplies.
And papers in their classroom,
yeah.
usually fighting some Republican governor like Chris Christie.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Very good point. Let's go to Nate in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm from Virginia, and this is a big gun state.
Mm-hmm.
I can, if I wanted to, I could go to a gun show and buy an assault weapon.
Yeah.
But my point is, all these people out there. They're fighting for their gun rights, but the Second Amendment is the most bastardized version of the Bill of Rights.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm a blue-collar worker. I work with people who have a lot of guns, and they're bitching about the gun rights, and I tell them, okay, well, what militia are you part of? How are you defending your country, and how is it well-regulated? And they can't give me an answer.
Right, because there is no good answer. You're absolutely right. It's Jim often says this. It seems like the only amendment they think is somehow just sacrosanct.
Mm-hmm. Nothing else. Everything else can be amended, but not that one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Did you get that belch on Free Speech TV, Travis, or no? Or Natan? Were we on yet? No? No, missed it. He's the only one that's new, so he still looks surprised.
Yeah, I know.
When I let one of those rip. All right, well. And then I'll do my victory thing. Yes. Okay. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang joins us next hour for Fridays with Fugelsang. Tim, on Free Speech TV, watching Mama and the Mooks on my brand new smartphone at my desk. Life is good.
Nice.
Hi, Tim. Yeah. Once I have an app on my phone, I'm listening to progressive radio like crazy.
Yep.
You can get a Roku box, Jim. If you don't have Dish or DirecTV, you can watch us on any old TV a Roku box, only like $50.
Yeah.
Okay, just saying. All right, so lots to get to. Let's see here. Jim in North Carolina, for some reason when I say the word gun, the lines light up. I don't know why. Hi, Jim in North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Stephanie, I was a paramedic in Florida for 25 years, retired.
Yeah.
And I've been on so many shootings that you can even imagine.
Yeah.
And not one of them has ever been in a justifiable shooting. They've all been murder, suicide, or accident involving everybody from children to the elderly.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I've even had a coworker where they're showing, oh, look at my new gun, my self-defense. And before long, you will suffer depression. Way before you have to worry about a home evasion or a carjacking and take your own life. And that's what happened with several people I know that have boasted about, oh, look at my gun. And I look right at them and say, yep, you'll probably end up taking your own life with it, believe it or not.
You know, Jim, I can't imagine what it's like to be you. We've often talked about the first responders, the paramedics at Sandy Hook, and you think, like, will they ever get over that? Have they, you know, how do you psychologically survive that? What they had to likely see.
I've seen mass shootings. We've had all kinds of shootings in my career. Families, especially on holidays, somebody takes out and kills everyone in the family. Been through it. Babies, the whole thing. They take everyone out. And when you see stuff like that, you get through it. You just, you know, it's a job. Believe it or not, you just got to deal with it like a job. But you're actually working and trying to do good. So, you know, it's just those things that you never forget. But it always, when you hear the gun stuff, and everyone's, oh my gun, oh, look at this. And you, all you think of is what you've seen and experienced.
Yeah.
And it's no, and everyone wants, especially the NRA, the people who want freedom, and then they turn around and say, we want armed guards. First of all, I've never driven down the street and, you know, when I was in uniform, you see a cop, they waved a nice to you, and I've seen that same cop that didn't recognize me when I was out of my uniform wouldn't give you the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go to the movie theater and have to walk past armed cops that I don't even like driving by them in your car. You're afraid to look at them. You're afraid to wave at them. Can you imagine being browbeat by a guy standing there with a machine gun before you enter the movie theater?
Yeah.
I don't want to live that life.
And these people go, yeah, yeah, let's have armed guards at the schools.
Jim,
who do you think these armed guards are going to be? The same cops that are running around harassing you over, you know, every little thing you do, where you park, how you park, how you drive, you know?
Yep, I hear you, Jim. By the way, I was just thinking what it's like to be someone like him. I've never seen an actual person shot. Have you?
No.
Anybody?
Mm-mm.
I mean, not obviously in person. I mean, I can only imagine having how many times in his life he's had to see that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Rick in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I was calling in. You know, I grew up with a lot of guns around. My family hunts and everything, and spent a couple of years in Iraq as a contractor and saw some stuff over there. And listening to people talk about assault weapons and everything, I don't understand why everybody wants to ban assault weapons. Because, like, you take the common, like, M4, and I believe that's just another version of a 22. And there's other assault weapons that are the same caliber and style gun that you would get the same thing out of, like, a standard-looking rifle that's semi-automatic and things like that.
Okay, Rick,
it looks cool.
Right, I understand. I'm not a gun expert, but I know that I can't remember the general that who is, obviously, who said, you know,
right.
Look, military weapons don't belong in civilian hands, period. And you know what I'm talking about. They're, you know, okay, never mind. See, this always activates all the people that, oh, you know what you're talking about. That's the M22, same thing as whatever. With a,
the MR5QZ.
It's not even really an assault thing. But. Excuse me, Jim?
Yeah, it's got a 30-round clip. So what could possibly go wrong? Got an itchy trigger finger. Oops, I had it on auto. I'm sorry.
Oops.
My bad.
Sorry about your face.
I mean, but it always starts like that. But my family was hunting. Okay. If you need an assault weapon to hunt, you're not your thing. You're a pretty crappy hunter. Yeah. Okay. So I mentioned I will be on CNN tonight with Don Lemon, talking about Michelle Obama turning 50 today. Happy birthday, Michelle. Rock on. Right?
Yep. And apparently an invitation went out to their friends.
Yes.
Saying, wear your dancing shoes, because we're going to be dancing all night.
On CNN? Oh, with Michelle.
Dancing on the ceiling.
By the way, Julie writes, you know you're old when you turn on the TV one morning at stupid o'clock and some old, mostly Republican people are sitting around talking about how their friend Deborah Harry is prepping a 40th anniversary tour. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And I recall you had to go home before she played at that New York City Out 100 thing you went to because it was too loud and Granny needed a nap. Yes, that is true.
She's
always been a creature of
the night. And also I had the misfortune of hitting the red carpet at the same time she did, so nobody took my picture.
No.
They shoved me off to the side.
I once went to a concert of hers at a club, and it didn't start until 11:30.
Right.
Yeah, she didn't go on stage until 11:30.
Yeah. No, that was.
And she was a little liquored up. Not a little liquored up. A lot liquored up. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, sure, someone left her hanging on the telephone.
They only wanted to take one drunk's picture on the red carpet. It was not me.
Yeah. You know.
Bitch.
You know.
This might be me, though. Great-great-grandmother celebrates turning 100 by hiring a stripper.
Good for Granny.
Doris. Of course her name's Doris. She hired a stripper to give her a lap dance. She ordered the strippergram herself. They even put in a special request for a full Monty. She came prepared with a bottle of baby oil and even a can of whipped cream that she had the stripper lick off her face.
Wow.
Usually the strippers provide that.
Yeah, well.
You don't need to provide that yourself.
She wanted to come prepared, I guess.
All right. Okay. Not that I would know.
All right. Wowee. Can I just say, in the wake of, obviously, Utah and the whole gay marriage debate, this is a straight couple, I would just like to point out. Wife stun-gunned after losing bet. A 42-year-old Illinois man was fined $250 after allegedly using a stun gun on his wife after she lost a bet on a Packers-Bears game. The couple was driving through Mayville in their semi when they stopped at a bar to watch the November 4th game, which the Packers lost 27-20.
Okay.
According to the complaint, Nicole Grant bet her husband that he could use a stun gun on her for 3 seconds if Green Bay lost. John Grant allegedly used it 3 times on her, and she called the police. She told officers she didn't think her husband would actually use the weapon. I was with you. You bastard.
You believe me?
The same thing. Thank God there's no gays messing up that.
I said it, but I didn't mean it.
Sheesh.
I said 3 seconds, not three times. Oh, dear God. Okay. More than 2,700 calls, emails, and letters flooded into the Utah governor's office in the days and weeks after the surprise ruling legalizing gay marriage in the state. Governor Gary Herbert, a Republican, has pledged to defend the same-sex marriage ban in Utah after a federal judge overturned it December 20th. Most of those generally supporting same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly enough, in Utah, some of the messages did not necessarily endorse same-sex marriage, but implored the governor to drop the legal fight. Many supporters of same-sex marriage mentioned gay friends, siblings, or children. As somebody once said, we got some gay friends in the red states.
That's right.
Or shared their own personal stories. Carol Dixon said she had been with her partner for 29 years and asked Herbert to reconsider his stance, make our family one again. She said, I don't know any straight couples who've waited over 20 years to declare their love legally. Other supporters of gay marriage also spoke of feeling like second-class citizens wanting equal rights. Some included photographs of their marriage certificate included photographs of their partners and children. Some supporters told Herbert it was a waste of money, which is true, to continue the legal fight to defend the Utah's gay marriage ban. And interesting enough, I was just saying how ironic it's Utah. They were pointing out nearly two-thirds of Utah's residents are Mormon, of course.
That's right.
And Mormon Church, one of the leading forces between, Prop 8 here in California.
Mm-hmm.
They stuck their Mormon nose into our business out here and see how that worked out. So anyway.
A lot has changed nationally in the last 5 years since they did that.
Right.
The Mormon Church is less likely to do that now.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it's ironic and it's fitting that they have, that the marriage equality looks like it may be coming to Utah, places. So there. Hooray.
How about them apples?
Oh, and in other news this week, did you see the guy that founded, GOP Proud?
Geo Proud. Yes.
Jimmy LaSalvia has quit the Republican Party.
Yep.
Because he says it tolerates bigotry. Oh, really? Now?
Now a warning?
Oh, now? When he just realized. He said, I came to the realization that leadership of the Republican Party just doesn't share my principles and my values. Really? Really? Well, that is... Huh.
He's still a staunch conservative, though.
Right. I don't get that, but okay.
You can be conservative in other ways besides the gay way.
He was in the party of Louis Gohmert, who is kind of a...
A Gohmert?
Yeah, he's a little bit of a Gohmert. He... has some advice for federal judges ruling on same-sex marriage cases. Get some basic plumbing lessons.
Ah. You know, like a plunger, things like that.
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Right. Implying they don't understand.
Basic plumbing.
You don't understand the way it's supposed to work. You can't have that thing
Let's
over
all
there.
Let's envision having to have sex with Louis
Gohmert.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Here, let me show you how it's done. No.
No, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, the home version, the home game, 22 minutes after the hour. That was awesome.
What?
It's garbage day, and the garbage man helpfully came during the commercial break.
Aww.
Thank you, Mr. Garbage Man.
How many garbage cans do you have?
Hey, Mr. Garbage Man.
So we've got two more chances.
It takes
for a lot of noise.
It takes up an entire parking space, you know.
I know. Sorry about that. Well, cause a lot of people produce a lot of garbage around here. Just saying.
I pack it in
Travis,
and I pack it out.
Take the trash out. That's what I texted him this morning. Okay. I'm such a shrew. All right.
Did you text that from upstairs?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have just come down here and asked?
No. Wanted to make sure you got on your chores
You're
early.
You're like a surly teenager.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Troy in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Troy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to make a comment about guns. I haven't heard many people suggest that we just get rid rid of them from our society. They're in Walmart. They're like everywhere. Kids can just pick them up. They're all over the place. And that's the problem. We have a gun culture. The media promotes fear. And, you know, everybody's whipped up by this frenzy of fear. And, you know, other countries don't have all these weapons, and they're not turning into chaos like Australia, Amsterdam.
Yeah. Well, Australia had one huge mass shooting, and they did something about it. And guess what? Gun violence dropped to practically nothing, yep. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. The statistics are ignored, and you're told to, you know, get a gun somehow that's going to protect you, and most people get shot with their own weapons.
Yep, exactly. Like our last caller said, mm-hmm. That seems too, I don't know what's the word, Jim, logical.
Yeah.
Somehow, gee, there was a problem. Maybe we should do something that might fix that problem. Oh, look, it's fixed. It's too much for us. Okay. Edward in Arkansas, or Edmund in Arkansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed. Edmund.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, there you are. Hi, Edmund.
That looks like Brian.
No, it's Brian.
Oh, okay. There you go.
All right, that's close enough. Hi, Brian.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to jump off the last two callers. I mean, the NRA is faced with dwindling gun ownership numbers. So they're trying to sell to as many other people, like crazy people, as much as they can, because the gun ownership numbers are plummeting. So now you have this Venn diagram where you have the crazy people and the gun owners. That Venn diagram now is widening.
Right.
So
I'm
more afraid to go to the movie theater than I am of somebody kicking my door in.
Well, you know what it is? I think somebody was saying it's stockpiling because the number of households, I think, with guns has not gone up. It's the people that have these arsenals.
Yes.
Because of the fear mongering, because of the black guy trying to take away your guns.
That's right.
Okay. Now, Edmund in Arkansas. I hit the wrong button. That's what happened there. Hi, I'm not drunk. Hi, Edmund.
Yet.
Getting there.
Edmund?
Hi, Edmund. Edmund. See, it's not my fault. Okay.
What'd you do? Did you break the phone again?
I did not do anything. Peggy in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering if anyone has ever done a survey of how many actual home invasions have occurred when the people are home.
Right.
You know, I know there are a lot of burglaries, but, you know, that's usually if they know that somebody isn't home. And I think this fear of, I have to protect myself in case of a home invasion, is just a little feel-good thing that the NRA has put out, put into everybody's head.
Yeah, that one, I can't remember whether it was, who is the woman from the gun group? Remember she was, but she was on TV, whatever other mass shooting it was. But it sounds like it's zero dark 30 at her house every night.
Yeah.
They all conveniently have these stories about stopping a home invasion at their house that apparently happens, I don't know, nightly.
Right.
Yeah.
That woman sounded like the, all boys love ribbon candy.
Stop it.
What?
Stop writing snarky comments about callers.
All boys like ribbon candy.
We're on
30
TV.
Round
we can
clips.
See you. My God. Making what? The drinking motion. I don't even know if it's about me or the callers.
It's usually about you.
You.
That is water.
It makes me really nervous that you don't have a lid on that.
Well, it's the hole is too small. Ugh, I'm so irritated. We're all irritated with each other. We spend too much time together.
In your house now.
Exactly. Daryl, and you got to run best of, so you're here till noon.
Noon.
Ugh.
Yep.
Daryl in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Daryl.
This gun topic is probably the most annoying topic, and it's something we have to discuss. But the people that seem to argue gun rights the hardest are the people that either A, think they're so important that the government is somehow going to be out to get them.
Right.
That, you know, just because they post on some website or they rant on Facebook, you know, that doesn't make you a revolutionary.
Yeah, that's
true.
It's true. Exactly. It's like, they don't even know who you are, goober. Shut
Just
up.
Because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
That's from the official conspiracy theorist of the Stephanie Miller Show. Okay, Debbie in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I love your show. You guys are great.
Thank you.
And this conversation is, of course, really heated. But I think I've heard statistics that
say they're actually less gun owners, less people buying guns, and in that group, that small group who own guns, they're buying more of them. And
that's right. That's what I was saying. Stockpiling.
Really looking at that, like these people are amassing weaponry.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Everybody's building their own little Waco.
Yep.
That nice. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Very famous, very talented, a great movie star.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Uh-oh. Natan is letting the drunken Canadian intern run the video cameras.
Oh, God. How much moosehead have you had this morning?
Oh, boy. Okay. He's letting him drive the TV show.
Uh-oh.
Not moosehead, Labatt's.
Labatt's.
Great. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Stephen writes, hey, Mom, I love seeing you during my morning Bloody Mary. Awesome. Party
wow.
on.
Wow.
Party on.
Nice.
Party
like
on.
We have those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Why haven't you set up a bar in here? Where's the bar cart?
He'll be ready on Monday.
Okay.
Well, you know me. I just turn into Mad Men when so many men around. Have you heard about the shooting at Arrowhead Mall here in West Phoenix, otherwise known as East L.A.?
Oh,
apparently,
yeah.
A couple were shoplifting at a Sears. There's still Sears. That's the main thing about this story, really?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it still Where America
Shops? And they've been a fine sponsor of the Stephanie Miller program.
They have?
Yes, they have.
Well, mm-hmm. Good. And they were caught by store security. The female pulled out a child's toy gun. Another shopper pulled out his mm-hmm. real gun and started shooting to protect himself and his wife. Luckily, no one was injured in this incident. The shoplifters were apprehended. Hugs and kisses, Stephen. P.S. We see Fred on the show. Is Max camera shy? No, Max is not camera shy. He's just normally on the floor, and we don't have our aerial camera operating
right.
yet.
We got to get a drone, a little aerial drone, just to.
Although Panasonic's getting right on that, aren't they, Natan? On that camera that they're repairing. Okay.
Natan is this disembodied voice back there.
He's just in the Barca Lounger letting the drunken Canadian intern drive.
Yeah.
Okay. Kate in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Oops.
Hello.
Hello.
I want you to know, Steph, that I am a Unibrat, or formerly Unibrat, Wolfchild, born, raised by Republicans.
Awesome.
Wow.
Well,
welcome to the pack.
And I'm looking forward to your show in May.
We're very excited about the Albuquerque show. Yay.
At Pope Joy Hall?
Yes. Get your tickets now. Yes. Going fast. Go ahead.
And even though I never took my baby into a bar, I'm taking my 17-year-old baby to your show.
Oh, that's 17. It's fine. All right.
But
go
what
ahead.
I wanted you to know is I have the great displeasure and dishonor of being Nicole Grant's second cousin, the taser woman.
Oh, the woman whose husband tasered her because she lost a bet over the Packers and the Bears?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
What's Needless going on with
say,
that marriage?
Maybe they should come to
the
show.
Wedding. I'm the black sheep of the family. But I wanted you to know that that side of the family, anti-Obama, birthers, Obama
oh,
was born.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
That they're all very poor. They don't have health insurance. Okay. But they won't sign up for Obamacare because that would be part of the problem.
Right.
Right, and she probably needed it after her husband tasered her, I'm guessing.
She did. Oh, and the irony is he probably won't go to jail for the actual tasing. He'll go to jail for possessing the taser.
Oh,
and of
I
course,
see.
Who does he blame?
Obama.
Exactly.
Wow.
All right. Thank you, honey. See you at Pope Joy Hall in Albuquerque.
Wow.
Wow. Wow, wow. All right. Yeah, we have turned out the gun nuts today, as always, when we talk about this topic. Did you see this story, Chris? The Adam Lanza, the Newtown gunman, apparently called into a radio show. Yeah, he called a radio station to discuss the 2009 mauling of a Connecticut woman by a chimpanzee. Remember that story?
Yeah.
Yep.
Was off. The caller believed to be Adam Lanza. It was a campus radio show, mm-hmm. University of Oregon's campus radio station, and blamed civilization for the animal's attack. I remember this, 2009 in Stanford, was it?
Yep.
Charla Nash. Oh my God, she was blinded, awful. Lost both hands, underwent a face transplant after being mauled by
all from a chimpanzee.
A chimpanzee named Travis.
Travis. Wow, there you go.
No, but chimps sometimes as they get older, they tend to go a little crazy.
Like defense secretaries?
Yes, just like that. No, but I've heard that their brains expand too much or something.
Wow.
But I've heard that happening and becoming very aggressive.
And also being named Travis. I'm just saying Travis Bickle, Travis Bone. Who knows what's going to happen out there?
That's enough to make you crazy.
Listen, have to answering these phone calls every day.
Yeah, talking to Rosemary Mary every day. Oof.
You talking to me? Are you talking to me?
Remember a couple weeks ago?
I'm the only one here.
This guy couldn't hold on. He just wanted me to tell you that you're a bigger than usual today. C word. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, thanks. Thanks for passing that along. the caller believed to be Lanza said Travis was raised like a child and was highly domesticated, noting he used an electric toothbrush, a TV remote control, and even the computer. Travis was integrated into society.
We've integrated Travis into society.
Sort of.
He still throws his poop, though.
Yes. I'm
trying to.
See do what it's like sharing a bathroom with all of you ape men.
I know, and Travis leaves 3 sheets on the toilet paper roll. And
I knew
gets
it
out
was him. I knew it was him.
Yeah, he's so undomesticated.
Anyway, the caller who they're saying he identified himself as Greg.
Greg?
Let's not
go there.
Okay. Okay, sorry we have in jokes because we've known each other too long. Okay, look what civilization did to him. He said it had the same effect on him as it has on humans. He was profoundly sick in every sense of the term, and he had to resort to these surrogate activities like watching baseball and looking at pictures on the computer screen and using Xanax. The caller said Travis appeared to be desperate to change his environment, and the best reason I can think of for why he would want that, looking at his entire life, would be that some little thing he experienced was the last straw, and he was overwhelmed by the life that he had. He compared the attack to other random acts of violence. This is weird. Mm-hmm. He said, I just don't think it would be a stretch to say that he very well could have been a teenage mall shooter or something like that.
Oof, wow.
Yikes.
He's talking about himself.
We will have to ask our chimp, Travis, what he thinks the potential of various callers to be.
He's talking to you on the chat thing over there.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Oh, so... I hear you, and I will show you what 3 sheets on a roll looks like.
Well, you've been 3 sheets to the wind. It was different, though.
When aren't I? Jose, am I saying that right, in Nebraska?
Yes, you are. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Hey, listen, I've been listening and watching your show for a couple hours now, and it's interesting, everyone's point of view about gun violence, and of course, gun violence and shootings and mass shootings and everything. But I'm actually a survivor of a gun shooting back in California when I lived in California.
Wow.
And of course, I was coming out of high school. I got shot. You know, I was 17 years old, and I'm 34 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see all these shootings going on around me, or I see all this going on around the United States, it actually triggers something in me saying, why is it so hard to actually just come to an agreement about this gun violence that we are going on? Why is it people on high alert, on high places saying, you know what, this has been going on for a long time, this has been going on for years. What is so wrong with actually, why would it use their children?
I
got shot 5 times. One was in my body.
Oh my God.
I got 2 bullet holes in my arm, one in my leg, one in my stomach, and one grazed me in the head.
Jose, this is going to be a weird question, but what does it feel like to get shot? I mean, do you realize it at the moment it happens?
Later after I got shot.
What's that?
And all I remember was just, how does it feel? It feels a burning sensation inside your body.
Mm. Wow.
And I honestly want to tell you this. I didn't feel it until I actually fell on the floor from running. I was running from the drive. It was a drive-by shooting.
Wow.
Did I deserve it? No, because I was just a normal kid going to school.
Yeah. I can't even imagine the amount of pain. Did you go into shock right away or no?
Yes, I did. It took me 3 months to recuperate from all 5 bullets, popsicle wounds. I'm a lucky guy to be alive.
Yeah, I'll say.
I'm blessed and I'm lucky, and that's the reason why all this trash talking about, well, you know, people kill, you know, not the guns, and okay, you know, whatever. Bottom line is, there's a gun in place. There's a gun there. That's a weapon. That takes your life away.
Yep, absolutely. Go ahead, Jose.
I'm sorry. I have spoken about this to people that I know that are close to me, and they tell me, all of them tell me, you know, you're a blessing to have you around. And even to this day, they give me a lot of, you know, props about the situation and how I'm taking it. Yeah, I suffer from PTSD. I did suffer from PTSD.
Well, I bet you do.
And I worked through it. You know, I really did. Yeah. And I'm just begging anyone out there who got their hands in any kind of laws about these weapons to just think about it.
Yep. Jose, I appreciate you being bulletproof. I need every listener I can get. Thank you very much. And thanks for your story, okay?
Thank you, Stephanie.
All
have
right.
a great one.
All right. Thank you. Wow. All right. So, by the way, we were saying that that we're on Full Metal Benghazi alert on Fox News 24/7.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, and we did find the facts. With 60 people were killed at U.S. embassies while George Bush was president, including, I think, the last one that happened on his watch, Jim, was I'll find it again. But I think it was 14 people or something like that were killed in one attack.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, I don't know about you,
not
but
a peep
one
from Republicans.
News story. This is right. all about mm-hmm. Hillary. This is all about trying to pin something on Hillary now yeah. that particularly Chris Christie appears to be imploding. Senator Dianne Feinstein at the hearings yesterday.
There is no evidence that Secretary Clinton even knew about this. There is an undersecretary for management. There are others that run these facilities, that evaluate these facilities, that make the decisions with respect to security.
And we were saying, sadly, one of the main conclusions of this this most recent investigation is that Ambassador Stevens was the one that refused security twice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the story they've been telling is just flat out incorrect. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, more from the Benghazi thing. Whatever. Yesterday, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Isn't it awesome? I can just bark orders at you endlessly to do my professional and personal business.
I was doing your personal business.
You were getting me my Randy Rose on my iPhone. Thank you. I cannot live without my Randy Rose. I got my iHeartRadio. I got TuneIn. I got Progressive Voices. I'm all set to go. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right. We were talking about the Benghazi. Oh, good God. Really? Mm-hmm. Really? Has this led to another round? How many times can we do the same investigation or report? John McCain making this all about Hillary.
Secretary Clinton, instead of yelling at the Foreign Relations Committee, who cares? Oh. She should know, one, we do care, and two, if she wants to be President of the United States, she should come clean and reveal every detail of this tragic situation that resulted in the deaths of four Americans.
They already have every detail.
Was he talking about someone else being cranky?
She has to admit that it's all her fault. Why won't she do that? Then she can be president. I'll let her be president if she does that.
Boy.
Okay, whatever.
Right. Grampy, one more
time. Well, I think it's important to point out that he had asked for additional assistance. What he turned down was additional military assistance, but he certainly sounded a number of warnings about the deteriorating situation, including 10 terrorist organizations, that outfits that were right there in Benghazi.
So he admitted right there that it was Ambassador Stevens that turned down the security detail twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... But of
which
course,
is why it's Hillary's fault.
Yeah. Right. I don't remember John McCain having anything to say with the 60 people that were killed at embassies when Bush was president.
He didn't. Nope.
When embassies are in dangerous places, sadly, sometimes bad things happen.
Or when all those Americans were killed in Lebanon and we bravely attacked Grenada.
Right.
What?
Mm-hmm. What now? By the way, when John McCain like stopped short, like how fast do you think Lindsey Graham hits him from behind? I'm just saying.
What are you insinuating?
I'm just saying. Whenever you have a soundbite of John McCain, who's right behind him?
I'm sure Lindsey Graham hits a lot of people from behind.
She has a lot of accomplishments. She's a very accomplished woman. But under her leadership, the consulate became a death trap.
He's, once again, sounds vapory. He's having more vapors.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is why she will never be president, because she is a death trap.
It's a suicide.
There are way too many skeletons in Lindsey Graham's closet for him to be president.
You think so?
I'm telling you right now.
Be quiet back there.
Stop making all that noise in the closet.
Quiet. I'm trying to stop Hillary from being president.
I think if she wants to be commander-in-chief, she has to answer for her leadership as Secretary of State when it comes to Benghazi.
Rattle, 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 rattle. Stop it. Be quiet back there.
All right. We have a lot of well-known Southern Belle Lindsey Graham this morning.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
She couldn't be on TV to talk about what happened in the State Department because she was distraught. I don't buy that. Does anybody believe that about Secretary Clinton? And if it's true, it's something the American people need to consider.
Is it me, or is he having the vapors over Hillary having the vapors? Is that what he's saying?
I can't believe that anyone's considering having her for president. That's just wrong.
He sounds kind of screechy and unhinged.
I talked to all those guys in the closet, and the skeletons, Quiet. I'm trying to keep.
It must sound like someone's got those little ball knockers in there. You know what I mean? Little
click clacks.
Right, click clacks.
I'm sure Lindsey Graham is familiar with ball knockers.
They're not ball knockers. I'm sorry. I meant click clacks.
Stop it. Stop with the click clacks. I'm trying to talk here.
He sounds like a character that comes right out of the pages of Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. I declare.
Oh, my goodness. My stars.
Oh, and here he is. One last time. Clackety, explaining. How Bridgegate is exactly like Benghazi.
Of course.
Huh?
You want to know what Chris Christie did? Fine. Absolutely fair game. We know what he did when he found out what his people did about the traffic jam. He fired them. And he got up in front of the whole world and said, I'm embarrassed. It's my fault. I'm going to fire the people who did this bad thing. Name one person that has been held accountable for this bad thing called Benghazi.
Ambassador Stevens.
Sure.
Because he didn't want it to be a fortress. He wanted to have contact with the local people.
By the way, yes, Chris Christie did that when he got caught.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. And we've only just started the investigation there. So we'll see. Okay. Let's go to Carl in Nashville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Hey, you know, the Benghazi thing worked so well for President Romney, too. That's funny. I mean, they tried this. It was all Obama's fault at first, and now it's Hillary's fault.
Right.
Hilarious.
Please proceed, Governor.
Exactly. Yes, please proceed, Governor. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, everybody. I don't know if this is good or bad, but my thought processes now are completely aligned with yours. So you say McCain, I think now here comes Lindsey Graham.
Right.
And how the two of them must sit together and say, oh, my God, how can we be relevant? What are you going to say? And then what am I going to say? What are you going to say? You know, because they're like the Statler and Waldorf.
Yes. From the Muppet Show. The two old guys in the balcony. Yeah.
Exactly.
That didn't work.
Listen, two things I want to just say. One is the official parenting specialist. In terms of children, here in Montgomery County, Maryland, we call it shelter in place. Those are the drills they now do.
Right.
And that's smart. You know, we have a fire drill. We have a shelter drill. We don't frighten the children. We don't traumatize the children. Adults are fidgets when they make children afraid. And the kids then just handle it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so it's how we, the adults, it's just like children aren't born with hate. unless you try to take their toys. But other than that, they're very loving creatures. And we teach them how to hate and have bigotry and bias.
Right. Bigotry, homophobia, all of it. By the way, did you see this study? Many, many studies, Sue, reaffirming my life choices. And I apologize because I know you're a parenting specialist, but gay couples without kids have the happiest relationships, according
Doesn't
to a new survey.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Right?
look how happy John McCain and Lindsey Graham are.
Or Stetler and Waldorf.
We don't know what Sue is talking about. Sue in Rockville is a well-known scamp. I love this part of the survey. Heterosexual parents are the least likely to be there for each other, to make couple time, to say I love you to each other, to talk about everything, and to pursue shared interests.
Huh.
Breeders. You're not doing it right, Jim. Well, you didn't breed, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Corky in Rochester real quick. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corky.
Hello, Steph.
Hi.
I heard John McCain this morning say that people just don't show up at a demonstration with rocket launchers. Well, they don't show up at public Republican rallies with AK-47s and 9mm cannons hanging off their hip, do they? They do.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do, in fact. 58 minutes after the hour, John Fugelsang, he's in an awesome Twitter fight with a Fox reporter.
That's right.
We will talk to him about that next on Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH. Shush.
What?
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free.
What were you digging through the trash can for?
My garbage that I produce is good garbage. Because it's show prep. You people produce, I don't know.
I'm pretty much all digital with my show prep.
It's like having, I don't even know how many husbands on this show. All right. Jim brought toilet paper in here just to taunt me.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Because you deserve it.
Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, looky here, it's Friday.
Tizzle sang, tizzle sang, a sang. Tizzle sang, tizzle sang.
Oh, God.
He's so
oh,
Lord. Tizzle sang, tizzle sang, a sang. She were mine. Tizzle sang, tizzle sang.
Good morning,
kids. Hi.
Congratulations on your Twitter fight with a Fox reporter, John Fugelsang.
Hardly a fight. I don't even know where this is coming from. This guy wrote, it's really interesting, this guy Rosen.
James Rosen.
James Rosen, yeah. I've seen him on Fox Fox Business. He just wrote some tweet about something I had said, and about Fox News, and he kind of took umbrage with a very innocent joke about how if, you know, the Chris Christie story gets any more damaging, Fox is going to have to find more Obamacare horror stories, or mention the word Benghazi even more.
Right.
And it took him a week. It took him a week to respond. He's a little slow on the uptake, apparently.
Well, he wrote, what's worse, a 3-day bridge closure or 5 million healthcare cancellations? Now, that's hilarious. He seems like a nice enough guy, but it's always so adorable when a Republican cares about people losing their health insurance for the very first time in their lives.
I know.
Boy, all these decades where they never cared, never saw a need for reform, but now that it's happened, you know, and it's like, well, you know, what's worse? 5 million people losing their coverage who can buy a new, more comprehensive, cheaper plan through the exchanges, or the way it was before, when everyone's going to an emergency room and guys like you, Republicans, are paying for it in your taxes.
Yeah, you actually tweeted back, James Rosen, respectfully, James, cancellations were the reason reform was needed. It's a GOP plan. I wanted single payer. Good for you, sir. Good, nicely done, sir.
Well played.
Name me one Republican who voted for Obamacare. Well, there was, I think, one or maybe two in the House who voted for it the first time, but the main thing is, you have to keep reminding your Republican loved ones all the time. The Heritage Foundation invented it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Republican idea implemented by a Republican governor in Massachusetts, upheld by a Republican Supreme Court, and Republicans always loved it until a Democrat tried to make it law of the land, and then they hated it. You know, liberals wanted single payer. Democrats wanted public option. This is a conservative plan. It's the free market plan. They yep. got it.
Yeah. And by the way, here we go again, right, with unemployment benefits. You know, they never – somebody, I think, I don't know which Democrat it was on this floor yesterday said, you know, how come we never needed offsets to get – you know, give Donald Trump an effort, another tax cut or subsidize an oil company or
– Right.
Oh,
but now suddenly we need offsets to in order to, you know, help people out that are out of work, right?
Oh, Exxon made a $44 billion profit last year, and they got tax credits, or CEOs who structure their pay as investment income, and yet shelter all this money off the coast. I mean, or all the farms paid not to grow crops, corporate subsidies to oil companies. It's ridiculous. And then these guys also supported Iraq steppers. So, you know, we can't afford to rebuild America now because we had no problem spending endlessly to rebuild Iraq then? Give me a break.
Yeah.
It's just like Benghazi. I'm sorry, but if you're a Republican, you don't get to use Benghazi. The hypocrisy is too deep that I don't have my waiters.
Yeah, I was saying, in fact, I found it when I was dumpster diving during the break.
Yeah.
60 people, John, killed at embassies, U.S. embassies, while George Bush was president. In just the last incident that happened, 16 people were killed in one U.S. embassy incident.
Yeah, but you know the argument for that, Steffi, those were all Yemenis, those 16. In fact, of all those 60 people you're running through there, you stinking liberals, none of them were ambassadors and most of them weren't Americans. So those lives don't really count, do they?
Yeah.
The most damning thing about the Benghazi junkies is the new report shows more than ever. You want to blame someone, you blame David Petraeus and the CIA. They're the ones who didn't rescue. They're the ones who gave the talking points about a video. We were attacked that day. We had embassy protests over that video in Yemen, in Tunisia. In Egypt, they scaled the walls of our embassy and tore down the American flag. Those were over a video. The amount of lies about lies are crazy. And mm-hmm. if you're complaining about Benghazi, but you're not going to criticize David Petraeus, you're not really all that upset
yeah,
about Benghazi.
That was what I loved.
You're exploiting four deaths for cheap political points.
Yeah, I love that's the part of the Gates, the Robert Gates book. They were saying that the president questioned General Petraeus's judgment. Yeah, well, so does Mrs. Petraeus.
and not to get too arcane, but don't forget when David Petraeus, you know, his girlfriend gave a speech before she was outed as his girlfriend, where she talked about how there was a prison in the basement of the consulate in Benghazi. If that's the case, this is some black site stuff, and we're never going to know what was really going on there.
Yep. By the way, they seem to keep coming up. We were talking about unemployment benefits. By the way, Harry Reid yesterday on the floor, Senator Reid talking about.
I think that it's important that the Republicans go home during the few days we're going to be here, be there next week, and explain to the people in their respective states, these Republicans, why they didn't give these people the benefits because of process. Because I was mean to them.
and speaking of mean, they keep coming up with new mean ideas. You see Senator Diaper Vitter?
Oh. Uh-huh.
Did I say diaper? I meant Vitter.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I said both.
Mm-hmm.
Food stamp recipients will have their grocery store humiliation compounded by having to show a photo ID in order to buy food if Senator Vitter has his way. For millions of low-income Americans who don't have an official photo ID and can't necessarily afford to buy one, Vitter's bill would mean being cut off from their primary food source. I mean, seriously, did he have to show his hooker's ID, I wonder, when he was ordering diapers or whatever it was?
Well, selective outrage. And, you know, hey, look, Democrats and liberals are guilty of it sometimes, too. But it's all the GOP has right now. They're so steeped in hypocrisy on everything they've got. And, again, what's the difference between unemployed Americans and the U.S. Congress? Well, unemployed Americans actually want to work. You're not going to say that you're a patriot while you're forcing some single mom to choose between food and medicine for her kids this month. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And by the way, it's the same thing they use with these ridiculous voter suppression laws about, you know, this vote fraud, which is non-existent. I was looking at the statistics, John. Food programs have the lowest fraud rates of any public program at 1%. SNAP fraud rates pale in comparison to the rate of fraud in the farm assistance program that conservatives like Vitter are attempting to shelter from cuts in the, you know, in this ongoing farm bill fight. I mean, it's just the hypocrisy is so thick.
You know, I spent several months on the road making this PBS film, of course, and which we're still working on. I just interviewed Mike Huckabee for it, and Lewis Black is going to be in it, and we're going to Sing Sing Prison. But the biggest thing I learned is that everybody's on food stamps right now. I mean, everyone's on food stamps.
Right.
I talked to Caucasians in their 60s who never thought they'd have to do this. And, you know, consistently, everyone says the same thing. It is so hard to cheat or defraud that program. It's got the lowest rate of any kind of fraud. And again, it's subsistence living. It's like these people aren't being lazy. These people aren't trying to live off the government. These people are trying to eat and feed their kids. They're not dependent on big government. They're dependent on food and shelter. And this is patriotism. And patriotism is not the ability to blow up brown people in a third world nation 3,000 miles away. It's looking out for our own. And
yep.
I don't understand why the Democrats aren't beating the Republicans over the head with this.
Yep. Do you smell the desperation in the them trying to pin Benghazi on Hillary since Christie appears to be imploding over Bridgegate already? Bridgegazi.
Well, you played a clip of John McCain lying in the previous block where he said Mrs. Clinton said it doesn't matter. That's not what she said. She said, what difference does it make if it came from a video or if it was a terrorist attack?
Right.
You better remind all your friends out there. Would you ask all of your Republican friends, hey, who do you think deserves the most blame for what happened in Benghazi? And you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear Barack Obama, or you'll hear Susan Rice, or you'll hear Hillary Clinton. You know who they won't say? They won't say the terrorists. They're not going to say, let's blame the actual terrorists for what happened in Benghazi. And that's the hypocrisy. 9/11/01, we exploit a terror attack to attack Iraq. 9/11/12, we exploit a terror attack to attack Barack. Back then, when we were attacked under Bush, who knew it was coming and did nothing to prevent it, we were told, rally behind our leader, united we stand,
we
with us, with the terrorists.
Yeah.
But when it happens to this guy, oh, no, 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 now you have to attack the president. And it's just so ridiculous and offensive. And again, these are Ronald Reagan fans, okay? This guy, after our Marines were blown up in Beirut, he went and armed the same Iranians who helped blow them up. So really, it's not that hard to throw down the Benghazi talking points. And again, the complete lack of any legislative agenda doesn't bother Republicans anymore. You know why? Benghazi!
Yeah. And, and the hypocrisy once again. I mean, that was the original cut and run. So guess what Reagan did? We got out.
And
you know?
To Reagan's credit, we did kick Grenada's ass. So that
right.
Was,
yeah, that was macho. That really was.
Exactly. Benghazi's like a pill, you know? I mean, if you're so upset about Obama's reelection, if you're so upset about the thought of your countrymen having access to affordable health care makes you furious, try Benghazi. News Corp's team of chemists have taken all the false umbrage and real exploitation of Benghazi and put it into convenient pill form. Now easy to swallow and covered with the same sugar coating Fox gave 8 years of Bush-Cheney coverage.
Yay! Chuck Fugelsang! All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The mere fact that I have a breathy voice, full sensual lips, and a steaming hot body doesn't make me a bimbo.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang, live from New York City. Hello, John.
Hey, kids. Welcome to Chris Christie Town.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me tell you something. If this happened on the New York side of the bridge, if you shut down three lanes of the GWB, it's in the city charter. We're allowed to kill you. Your citizens are actually allowed to kill a governor if he does that.
I don't think that is true, John Fugelsang. I think you're making that up.
No, I'm very serious.
Well, you could wing him.
Maybe. You should be lucky you're in New York. You're the only one on the show that does not need a lint roller continuously.
I know, because I'm not in the house of giant white dogs.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
We
posted a lot of screenshots of, and you could tell because Jim is loving the dogs up and Chris is...
running away.
Yes.
I think they've got the hint.
Brave, 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 brave Sir Robin.
They don't come to me for petting anymore.
Oh, they will.
No, I give him
the Heimlich.
The
Heisman. Very like some dead gophers or raccoons in your pocket, and they'll come up pretty quick. They go for big game.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Fugelsang, how about them their Oscar nominations?
How about the what?
Oscar nominations.
Oh, my, yes. Let's talk about that. Movie 43 ignored. You know what? It's amazing when there's so many good movies that all the articles are about all the good movies that were overlooked.
Right. Well, these Daily Beast has compiled facts that will, about the Oscar nominations that will make you sad. Did you know that Jonah Hill now has more Oscar nominations than Robert Redford?
yes, I do. I am aware of that. Mm.
That is a little
too wrong. You know, I mean, 3-1 Mafia has more Oscar nominations. Actually, Redford won Best Director. People forget that. But as an actor, he's never been nominated before.
That's
and
right.
He's great in this movie, by the way. Lionsgate did not in any way promote this film. It's a terrific film. All is lost that everyone should see.
Yep. By the way, this will make us all feel bad about our lives, no matter who we are. Jennifer Lawrence is 23 years old, and she has 3 Oscar nominations. What were you doing when you were 23? I was doing Katharine Hepburn and the Traffic Copter on Hot 104 in Buffalo.
I was passing a
ride on the skidack.
I was passing out bumper stickers for a country music station in Phoenix at the
See?
Arizona State Fair.
I was
See?
Pointing out, what's his name? Jeez.
Oh, you were a tour guide
at Universal. Pointing out people's cars. You know, Ernest Borgnine's Mercedes there, right by stage 28 or whatever it was.
I was running a dorm for NYU and doing stand-up at night, but I am thrilled that, you know, I like Jennifer Lawrence. I don't really understand why her character is in that movie, but I love her in Winter's Bone, and but I am a bit infuriated that Emma Thompson wasn't nominated for Saving Mr. Banks, which is just a terrific.
Well, that really was an amazing performance.
How are you coping with the Oprah snub? Because we had Ross the intern on yesterday, and he is a little verklempt.
You want to know how angry I am about that? Seriously, mm-hmm. I watched Lee Daniels, the butler. And I'm a huge fan of Precious. I thought Precious was the best film of the year when it came out. This movie was sort of like a hilarious Cliff Notes of American history. But Oprah is the best thing about this film. She plays this character who's an adulterous, alcoholic addict, and yet she's so loving. You care about her. She's wonderful. She steals every scene she's in. She is a great actor, and it's completely whack that she was overlooked. And Tom Hanks. The last 15 minutes of Captain Phillips is the best acting of his career. I'm a bit shocked that was overlooked.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, by the way.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about these up-and-comers, like Robert Redford, Oprah Winfrey, Tom Hanks. When are they going to get some respect? I mean, who's going to help their careers?
Exactly. By the way, Oprah, I also have to say, best movie slap of the year, I thought. Everything you have is because of that butler. Thanks very much. Thanks.
She's terrific in the movie. You know, it reminds me of the Oscars really are when the most popular people on Earth get together and have a popularity contest between themselves.
By the way, so we had sexy liberal Carlos Alzraki in here on Wednesday.
We did.
Yeah, as we know, by the by, Phoenix going very fast for February 15th. March in Madison already sold out. Albuquerque in May is going very quickly as well. I think this is going to end up being me, John. We've been having a lot of fun with the Sexy Liberal Show, but country star drunkenly brawls with his own impersonator. This will be me one day.
Shelley Wright, I heard about this. Yes, she does that.
Oh, that's not Shelley Wright. Country star Trace Adkins reportedly fought his own celebrity impersonator on a cruise ship.
Wow.
That's where I've had it. Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah,
on
they
a
were,
cruise ship, no less.
He spotted his
it's
own...
It's like Kirk fighting the goatee Kirk from the alternate universe.
Right.
He spotted his own impersonator singing karaoke in one of the ship's bars, and they got engaged in a drunken brawl.
Oh, God.
Adkins, who'd been sober for 12 years, left the ship in Jamaica and checked himself into rehab. I'm just saying, fill in my name. That's going to be me.
You know what? If you have to have an excuse to fall off the wagon, getting into a fight with your own impersonator is pretty original. I think even Dr. Drew would give you a pass on that one.
Stop imitating me. Stop it.
Chaplin once entered a Chaplin lookalike contest and came in third. So Trace Adkins is in good company.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
All right, hang on.
I think Hitler came in second, but
hang on. Let's go to Jay in Tucson. We've been obviously talking guns all morning as well. Hello, Jay. You're on with John. Hello, Jay.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
We may have found a glitch in the system.
Uh-oh. Hi, Jay. Go ahead.
Found a glitch in the system.
We did.
Do we still have John?
Uh-oh. I'm still here.
Yeah,
yes.
I did that right. See?
Put it
on hold.
But there may be a little conferencing glitch in the system.
All right, let's try one more. Jim and Torrance, you're on with John. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, we found a glitch.
Oh, we found a disturbance in the force,
yes.
Jim.
Glitch,
look at that.
Please.
Glitch, please. Yeah, exactly.
I'll have Tony look at that.
All right. Thank you. All right. John Fugelsang, we were talking about all week about this latest ridiculous gun incident. The retired cop, of course, in Florida, who shot the guy who's texting his babysitter during the previews. And, you know, and you hear the same exact arguments from the gun nuts that you do every single time.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, you know, to this guy's credit, I mean, he was assaulted with popcorn. The guy wasn't carrying something dangerous like Skittles.
Right.
But, you know, it just, and he's using stand your ground, again, as a defense, which just tells me that when those guys who run the NRA and Alec finally go to meet their maker, I hope St. Peter greets them at the pearly gates and decides to stand his ground for a while. Because it's going to keep on happening, and more unarmed people are going to keep getting killed by armed people as long as Alec is writing the laws and cutting and pasting them for elected officials.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And we were saying there's this piece in the New York Times about, you know, when you have a new giant baby. This is the new normal, these drills about, you know, it's not fire drills anymore. Like when we were growing up, drills, you know, for a school shooting that kids have to go through all the time now.
Right. Well, stand your ground, it pretty much just means that, you know, when you're getting your ass kicked in a fight you started, you're allowed to kill the guy.
Yeah, exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
As funny as it is touching Gene Shalit, I stood up and cheered. Go,
Stephanie Miller.
Go, Joel Siegel.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. It's Fred, and Fred is next to me. And Jim had to go. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. John Fugelsang for a Fridays with Fugelsang, however. Hello, John Fugelsang.
Hello there. Hey, wasn't Chris Christie's big press conference sort of like catching a cheating husband? You know, he begins by apologizing and then spends 3 hours saying it's not his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've been saying it all week, John. How are people keep saying, oh, he took up responsibility like a man? That was 108 minutes of poor me. What was he?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, first he threw Bridget Kelly under the bus. Fortunately, the bus was 9 hours late because the bridge was shut down.
Hi.
You know, look, the one thing I got to say is people have got to lay off the guy about his weight, okay?
Right.
The size shaming is not liberal. It's not progressive. We got to be better than that. Let's stop calling Chris Christie a big fat liar and start calling him a big boned liar, okay?
Okay.
Let's call
him
a more to love liar, a husky liar. But stop with the size.
Oh, easy with the husky label.
Right.
I got labeled that when I was a kid.
I did not endorse Rocky Mountain Mike's joke earlier that it's too bad he couldn't have hired Johnny Cochran. He wasn't at the bridge, he was at the fridge. Because that's not right, John.
That's not right. No, it's right. Wrong to make jokes. Look, it's not like it's something, you know, his weight is genetic. It's not like it's a choice like being gay. So please, lay off the guy. I'm on now.
All right. Listen, I think, you know, the fact that we're all here today, Chris, soldiering on in the face of the fact that we have lost the professor from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
As well as the last remaining munchkin.
And Reuben Kincaid.
And Reuben Kincaid.
From the Partridge Family.
Right.
Right now he's in heaven bopping inobtrusively in the back of the room to someone else's music.
The actor who played the professor in Gilligan's Island, Russell Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne tweeted about it.
Oh.
Right. My two favorite people are now gone. The professor passed away this morning. My heart is broken. The other person is Gilligan, Bob Denver, who died in 2005.
Yeah.
They were not in the original open of the show. He and Marianne were referred to as the rest.
And the rest.
And the rest.
Yep.
Let's hope that his eulogy is referred to like that.
It's very sad he's gone. I met him once at a book signing years ago, but now that he's gone, the last remaining obstacle to my three-way with Ginger and Marianne has been removed. So, clear playing field now.
Is Ginger
with
us?
Yes, the only surviving cast. I was just going to say, Marianne and Ginger, the only surviving cast members. Thurston, Lovey, gone.
Yep. Well, they were older.
Alan Hale Jr. died back in the 80s.
Yep.
Right, exactly. All right, so we've been talking about Sexy Liberal Tour. Go to sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook for all of the upcoming shows. You know,
impatient. We have some big announcements coming, I understand.
Yes, indeed.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, indeed, we do. By the way, so you know one thing, I put my resolution for 2014 is to make more diva demands on the Sexy Liberal Tour.
Oh.
Because, you know, I don't have a writer, but that's my plan is to get one. Liza Minnelli, did you watch the Golden Globes?
I saw part of it, yeah.
Yeah. So you remember...
Of course, the second biggest night in Hollywood.
Martha Stewart did that cough drop commercial. Did you see that? First of all, why didn't they come to me? You know, I was hacking my head off last week. But yeah, she did the Pine Brothers cough drop commercial. She apparently, she had replaced Liza Minnelli, who canceled the day of the shoot after dishing out an astonishing list of diva demands and suffering a nervous breakdown, reportedly. She insisted on a rider, which included, this I love, 2 cartons of cigarettes and a humidifier because she can't breathe.
Oh.
Which might be because of the thing before the humidifier on her list of...
And a gay husband.
Well, there's that. 6 cases of bi antioxidant drink, black Egyptian cotton towels, a body scale, a food scale, no styrofoam plates, silver trays only, $400 coffee service, and full hair and makeup. But on the day of the shoot, she refused to leave her house. Producers begged Liza to leave her apartment. It was only a few blocks away and come to the shoot. She refused, saying this is too much pressure. So the owner of Pine Brothers called Martha Stewart, who was there within an hour. And she's done with the hair and makeup in 10 minutes, filmed the ad in 30. She probably earned about $1 million in 40 minutes.
Wow.
Mm. Rock on, Martha.
Well, in fairness, Liza was busy that day teaching a seminar on good, clean living, so she couldn't make it.
John Fugel saying you, I forget, interviewed which Beatle?
George and Paul.
I thought two of them. Did you see Paul and Ringo are going to reunite and perform at the Grammys?
Very exciting. The first time they ever performed together after George's death, I got to be in the audience in London, and it's really historic. They're going to not just be on the Grammys, but they'll be doing it from the Ed Sullivan Theater, where the Beatles premiered on Sullivan 50 years ago.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
So it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be a Beatle nerd. There's, you know, 2 new box sets they've released, and, you know, it's thrilling. I mean, that old music, the fact that, like, I Want to Hold Your Hand can be 50 years old and still be edgier than 99% of what's on the radio today is just a testament to what geniuses those guys are.
Yeah, oh, by the way, in your Twitter fight with James Rosen, the Fox reporter, didn't he say, I love your ex-Beatle interview? I'm sorry, you are never an ex. You are never an ex-Beatle.
Well, that was the weirdest thing about it.
I know.
He writes this, and then, like, you know, I ignored it, and then he wrote, he direct messaged me, and he was all really nice and sweet in his private direct messages. He writes, oh, F asterisk asterisk asterisk, all the political nonsense, and let's talk heavy Beatles. And he brings up things that I brought up, and, you know, I brought up this weird bootleg with McCartney from 1974 in my interview, and he's bringing up these, like, really arcane details. And I'm like, wait a second, it's a direct message. You've got to write F asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Really?
Right.
Just find a different euphemism. Either curse or don't curse, James. And then he winds up writing me like 25 direct messages, or several, about how he interviewed Paul once on the phone, and he wants to send me photos, what's my email address. And it's like, dude, you're going to be all chummy with me and private Fox News guy, but in public, you're going to just kind of sit there and be that way?
Wow.
Right, well, if I know what I got going on here.
That's kind of douchey.
And,
yeah.
I,
so
you know,
someone likes someone at Fox to be hypocritical.
Well, it's like, look, if someone wants to give me crap because I get along with people at Fox, let them give me crap. I have a lot of conservative friends, and you have to love conservatives. You're a liberal. It sucks. You got to be nice to everybody. But, my God, if someone's going to give him crap because he's like gets along with me, it's that bad. I mean, look at Chris Christie. The Tea Party hates Chris Christie
right.
for insufficient hatred of Obama. He actually put the well-being of his own hurricane-ravaged state above Obama hate. And this is how twisted we're becoming. We're getting along with the other side is now seen as a weakness. And that's actually why I think this Bridgegate is going to help Chris Christie long-term.
Oy.
Because he's not up against the media. He's not up against liberals. He's up against the Tea Party. They don't trust him. And by showing he doesn't give a rat's ass about working people, about the New York economy, to show that he's a bully, that he doesn't respect the law, that he'll throw people under the bus, I think it's going to turn on a lot of Tea Party people who've written him off. He'll play himself as a victim of the media. And at the end of the day, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I do think it's going to help Chris Christie with the group he needs help with.
I hope you're wrong. Anyway.
By the way, we have a little bit of breaking news coming out of D.C.
Yes, sir.
President Obama has ordered changes to the NSA program, saying the phone data storage will end, quote, as it exists.
Right. I was just going to get to all of that next segment.
Which means all your phone calls are still recorded on a Terra drive somewhere in Utah.
I suppose. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if John, if you and I have talked about this whole thing, but there's been a lot of recent articles about Edward Snowden that I got to say I agree with, because when I talk about it, I take a lot of crap, mm-hmm. right, from, you know, I guess from, I don't know what it is, Glenn Greenwald fans. But you know this writer, Dan Murphy, Christian yeah. Science Monitor, he's a Middle East reporter.
Right.
But, yeah. you know, because this is what I get. I get all this hate mail when I talk about, you know, I just don't think Edward Snowden's a hero, and I don't think he's a whistleblower. I mean, in fact, I think it was James Comey said it doesn't fall under whistleblower protection because it was nothing illegal. I'm not saying we shouldn't be having a discussion, but go ahead.
He can call himself a whistleblower, but he's a leaker. And you're right, Steph, it's not illegal because the Bush and Obama administrations made sure it was all legal. But I'm kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
I think I'm capable of walking and chewing gum mentally at the same time when it comes to Snowden. I think we can say that a lot of good will come from what he did. And what he did was illegal.
Right.
So, you know, I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, he's heroic. He's heroic in the sense that there will be reform because of him breaking the law. But he kind of undercut his position as a principled whistleblower by running off to that bastion of liberty, Russia.
Exactly.
When Rosa Parks sat in the front seat of the bus, she didn't go hide off in Cuba to avoid getting arrested.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just was interesting. Dan Murphy was writing. He said, I often try to point out on my Twitter feed that many Snowden revelations have nothing to do with protecting the U.S. Constitution and have the effect of helping foreign intelligence targets of the NSA. As he wrote about it, he said, I very quickly started receiving a deluge of abuse from anonymous Twitter followers. I'm a government shill. I'm a fascist, etc. I had an inkling it might be thanks to Glenn Greenwald. Sure enough, I found the following subtweet of me on his feed. And he talks about, you know, Mr. Greenwald is very popular on Twitter. He's earned a reputation for bullying people who don't share his views, frequently using his megaphone to launch unfair and frequently dishonest personal attacks.
Yep.
He said, I was furious. He compared me to Joe McCarthy, my crime, pointing out what to me, at least, is the uncontroversial position that NSA disclosures about fully legal overseas intelligence operations is not a form of whistleblowing and helps U.S. foreign intelligence targets. While Greenwald and Snowden frequently decry abuses by the U.S. government and the rest of the world gets a free pass, including Russia, where Snowden has temporary asylum, while the abuses of any country don't excuse ones by the U.S., to set yourself up as a principled advocate for personal rights and privacy while ignoring Russia's vast surveillance state and routine suppression of what Americans consider fundamental liberties is the height of hypocrisy. So, yeah, which goes to the point you just made, John.
That's the thing. Way to make Vladimir Putin look like the good guy, Snowden. But you can't diminish the impact of the fact that, yeah, some of the people that were targeted by spying have been informed about it. But a lot of those people have been American allies and American citizens. And I think that we have a right to know if the government has the access to monitor all of our phone calls, all of our emails. We're paying for it. And the fact that the New York State Supreme Court judge, you know, threw out a lot of NSA over the Snowden revelations shows that good is going to come from what the guy did. And you don't have to like him. I mean, I personally think he just went to extraordinary lengths to break up with a really hot girlfriend. That seems to me. You don't spend 2 months hiding out in a Moscow airport Cinnabon, you know, just for liberty and freedom.
Well, you know, John, we'll talk about what, the president just proposed that Chris was talking about. But a couple pieces in the L.A. Times recently, too, that I agreed with. Snowden leaks severely hurt U.S. security. And Doyle McManus wrote a piece, is Snowden a whistleblower or a traitor? Actually, he's both. And I think comes down sort of where you and I are on this. So we will talk about that. Take some calls. 1-800-STEPH-12, 45 minutes after the hour. The remaining moments with Friday the Bugle Sang.
The mere fact that I'm a breathy voice, full sensual lips, and a steaming hot body doesn't make me a bimbo.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family. Too much wine and too much song. Wonder how I got along. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the song, like the seasons, have all gone. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Why must you torture musicologist John Bugle?
Sorry about that, John.
My favorite childhood
song. Oh,
that's
okay. Black Box Recorder did a very sexy cover of that, the British group. So I heard that, too.
That's actually a good song. I like it.
It was my favorite song when I was a kid, and my brother's was Smoke on the Water. Just thought I'd impart that family fun fact. All right. John, we were saying the president giving a speech. Is he already given the speech?
He's giving the speech as we speak.
Yeah. Expected to call for more transparent surveillance while stressing the need to strike a balance between privacy and security. He's expected to leave the debate over the bulk collection of metadata to Congress and the courts. And, you know, John, that's what I've always talked about is I think there has to be a balance between security and privacy, and I'm not sure exactly what that is.
Well, I agree. It's been very comforting in the NSA battle to see so many liberals and conservatives finding common ground on this. And I think that the president, you know, look, he's mindful of everything. I mean, he doesn't want, if this gets any uglier for him, Fox is going to put a D after his name. But I think the president's got an eye on his place in history, and he knows that, you know, he doesn't want to go down in history as the drone president and the spy president. And I think that the pressure that's been put on him by a lot of good liberal folks and some good, honest, non-hypocrite conservative folks is going to lead to some real reform. And you know, a president's ego can lead to a lot of good things. And Obama not wanting to have a bad rap on this is going to be very good for America, I think, historically.
Yeah. And, you know, John, as you were saying, I mean, you and I are a little bit on the middle on this. That I agree we probably would not be having this discussion without Snowden. However, I don't think that makes him a hero. I mean, by the way, you can attest I did not wait until Jim was gone to do this.
Right.
This is when the news broke about what the president said. Because, you know, Jim is very much, I don't know what you call him, right? Chris, a Snowden fan, I guess. But, you know, but he always says, like, John, he always says, oh, you know, he didn't do any harm. And how do you know that? You know, a classified Pentagon report right this week concluded that leaks by Edward Snowden have set back U.S. efforts against terrorism, cybercrime, human trafficking, and weapons proliferation.
But to Jim's point, they're going to say that. Would they say anything different?
Well,
I mean, when the New York Times wrote an op-ed calling for Snowden to receive clemency, which everyone should read, and I respect the logic behind it, but even if you think Mr. Snowden deserves clemency, the fact is no president would ever do that. You know, it's like ending Medicare. Paul can talk about it. They can all talk about it. No president's going to be the one to actually do it.
Right. And John, as you were saying, I mean, you know, Chris, again, it's like if you're Jim, you don't trust pretty much anybody. But this is like Republicans and Democrats, John, as you were just alluding to on this committee, both said the same thing. One of them said, as a result of these disclosures, terrorists and their support networks now have a better understanding of our collection methods. And make no mistake about it, they're taking countermeasures. That seems logical to me that, you know, I think Al Franken said it. I mean, Senator Franken said, if I'm seeing this stuff, terrorists are seeing this stuff.
Well, but respectfully, terrorists already knew it's not safe to use cell phones and email. Drug dealers know that. I mean, people find ways around it. You know, I think that we have to realize that both sides may be right on this. A lot of good and a lot of bad may come from what Mr. Snowden did.
Right, but I was quoting, that's what I was thinking of, FBI Director James Comey, is he's the one who said, I have trouble applying the whistleblower label to someone who just disagrees with the way our country is structured and operates. Comey said Snowden's leaks about the NSA make up only a small piece of the data he copied, and none of the material would lend him normal whistleblower protection. None of this disclosure have revealed clear violations of law. I mean, that's a whistleblower, right?
Yeah. Look, if Snowden had stayed here and done what he did and then proudly faced the rest because he thought America mattered more than his own liberty, then I think you'd see the hero label have a bit more authenticity to it. As it is, he leaked important documents. I think good's going to come from it. And again, the story's not about Snowden. The more we talk about Snowden, the more we're not talking about the real story, which is what the NSA has been doing.
Yeah.
When Director Clapper put his, you know, we're collecting data, he lied.
Yeah.
So this guy breaks the law, lies under oath, tells a lie, and he's fine. No scrutiny whatsoever. Snowden breaks the law by telling the truth, and he's living in a Moscow airport Cinnabon now. So I think we have to, you know, as fun as it is to debate the merits of Snowden, screen about him, folks. He's the character who set the plot in motion. But it's really about what our government's been doing and what are the limits of liberty and privacy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Doyle McManus, the writer for LA Times, but I thought he nailed it in this piece recently. He said, is Snowden a whistleblower or a traitor? Actually, he's both. He's a whistleblower. And if that were all he'd done, he would deserve our thanks for forcing a debate over the NSA's swollen powers. But he's also a scoundrel who deserves prosecution and public condemnation. That's because his leaks no longer seem focused on protecting U.S. citizens' constitutional rights or toughening safeguards on the NSA. Instead, his disclosure has expanded far beyond those laudable claims to exposing U.S. intelligence gathering operations that appear not only legal but legitimate in the eyes of most Americans. And I think that's a really good point, isn't it?
It is, and that's the reason why Roman Polanski will be walking down Broadway before Edward Snowden is.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it's interesting because, you know, this has really split people. I was reading another journalist that nobody is denying that Glenn Greenwald is probably a good journalist, John, right? But you know, other journalists are allowed to disagree, you know.
Sure.
Right. And so Doyle McManus goes on to just say, let me get your take on this. As a journalist who's worked to unearth government secrets, my sympathies are normally on the side of the leaker, but Snowden is putting those instincts to the test. He and Greenwald have insisted they're disclosing only information of legitimate public interest. In any case, most of those disclosures from Merkel to Al-Qaeda have nothing to do with Americans' right to privacy. Snowden has acknowledged his ambitions go beyond limiting what the NSA can do at home. He said, and I think it's just the way, it's how grandiose he tends to be. He said, I've acted at great personal risk to help the public of the world, regardless of whether that public is American, European, or Asian. And anyway, so McManus just finishes by saying it means some of his disclosures have made Americans safer against government prying, but others have probably made us less safe. And I think they're both true statements.
Absolutely. He's allowed to be drunk on his own myth all he wants to be. But again, this is going to, you know, this isn't going to go away. And I like the debate. Now, Glenn Greenwald infuriates a lot of people. He inspires a lot of people. He's always been nice to me, full disclosure. I've always gotten along with him very well. The fact going on here is when I tune on a Sunday morning news show and I see anchors saying, shouldn't Glenn Greenwald go to jail for this? I'm like, what happened to journalism?
Yeah.
Journalism's a big tent, and you can't have the establishment David Gregory guys without also having the outlaw Glenn Greenwald guys.
By the way, ecclesiastical MOOC, real quick before you go today, did you see the White House said Obama's going to meet with the Pope in the near future?
Wow. Get them both food tasters. Yeah. Well, that's great. Let's hope some of that Pope can rub off on Obama. I'd like to see him be a bit more liberal when it comes to the poor. I think the Pope is the most powerful weapon in his quiver, and he can really beat up some Republicans using this guy's love quotes.
Love you, John Fugel, saying have a great weekend.
Great weekend, kid.
There he goes. We'll see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.